Program is intended for mature audiences.
Divino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Savino here with Savino Veritas, coming to you live from Burbank, California. Same scene where Jeremy Long just finished his Netflix comedy set here in Burbank, and he's with me live. Comedian, writer, director, Jeremy Long.
Life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
No, you never know what you're going to get, but you are going to get tonight. Jeremy Long, director, comedian, writer. And this is Tom Savino from Savino Veritas.
What? Oh my.
In Burbank, California. That was Jeremy belching on the air.
Whoa, what?
That's how we say
international belching.
That's how we say thank you for having me.
I'm really, really sorry.
And Jeremy, I misspoke.
Let me just say this with all due respect. You really don't know what you're talking about right now.
Earlier in the introduction, it was not a Netflix thing. It was a Amazon Prime.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes, that's true.
And it was a few weeks ago here in Burbank.
Yeah, I guess it was about a month ago.
Maybe a month ago.
Just shy of a month.
And it was an enjoyable evening, let me say it was a memorable evening. Because they had to shut off the AC in this tiny little wannabe comedy store thing.
Yeah, it wasn't like an official comedy club. It was like they built a room, or they built a stage in this other building just for the special. And you're right, it was very, very, let's use the word intimate.
Yes. Very intimate, and for some reason, and I still don't get it, maybe you could tell me, they before they started filming, they filled the room with smoke.
Did they really?
Yeah, like it was a horror film.
They really wanted it to feel like you were in hell.
Maybe.
With the boiling lava heat.
You're a director and stuff and things like that. Maybe were they going for like a club atmosphere, and nobody smokes anymore in clubs.
Yeah, you're not allowed to anymore.
At least in
indoors.
California, anyway.
I don't know what that would have been for, to be honest. I had no idea they did that. I had no idea. Maybe it was something to do with the heat. Would that cool it down a little bit, or
I don't
intersperse
know.
It?
I'm gonna have to science the shit out of this.
It was bizarre.
Yeah, so they were between the fact that the air conditioner made too much noise for the recording, and so there was no air conditioner, and the fact that they had I think five or six different cameras running,
yeah,
all that equipment being powered on was creating a lot of extra heat. So yeah, it was hot in there.
Yeah, I tell you, by the time the last comedian was on, and that was that woman who I think was producing it.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Gray Griffin, who is a very well-known voice actor.
Yes, she did some really cool voices in her act.
Yeah. I mean, that's just very smart of her, because that's what she's good at. So why not incorporate it into her comedy act?
Brilliant!
Although she's been in the voice acting industry for, I believe, like over 20 years.
If I may be so blunt, who gives a shit?
She's only just started stand-up recently. Less than a year, I believe, she's been doing stand-up.
Well, I didn't know that. There's more power to her. That's good that she did that. It's kind of on my bucket list to do stand-up.
Oh, you should.
I don't know.
You should. You just got to get together like 3 minutes of material, and then you can hit up an open mic.
Yeah, you could, tell me a little about it, give me some moral support or something.
And absolutely.
I'll do it. I may actually work on that. Speaking of working on stuff, Jeremy has a... Now, you wrote a script that was produced, isn't that correct?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird how it happened. There was... I didn't think anything. So I do freelance writing. And so far I got an okay number of gigs without even having an agent, although I'm looking into getting a writing agent soon. So this was a gig I got with my freelance writing, where it was a person who had read some of my other material that's floating around out here, some of my other scripts, and I guess liked my writing, and so contacted me to write this idea for a film they had, but they had the idea, but they couldn't write it themselves, so they hired me, and I wrote it. We're talking a while ago. I think this was like June or July of 2016.
Wow,
so almost 2 years ago.
That was now. You came out here in when did you come out here?
January 2015.
2015. I know that shortly after you came out here, you mentioned a script that you were working on. Maybe that's the one you were working on.
No. Maybe. I'm not really sure, but probably the one I was talking about was my own personal script, which I've been working on for quite some time now. It's a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, you betcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one is just an ongoing process, but this is one I was hired to write. I got paid up front, had a deadline, wrote it. It wasn't my idea, so it wasn't really like my, this other one, this zombie film, is more like my baby, my idea, built it from the ground up. This one was somebody else's idea, not as quite as passionate about it or anything or the story, but again, got hired to write it, got paid, and did it, turned it in. Then, I didn't think anything was going to happen to it, and I didn't hear anything for over a year, so I figured nothing was happening to it, which was fine by me because I got paid. And then, I guess it would have been like August or September of last year, 2017, I got a call from this man, Michael J. Epstein,
mm-hmm.
who is the producer, one of the producers and directors. It's a husband-wife team that produced and directed it. And I got a call from him to meet up and discuss it because they wanted me to sign some contracts because they got the money for it and we're gonna make it, and they needed me to come in and talk about rewrites and sign a contract and
be careful, son, I can sue you,
things like that.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so it was quite an adventure. It was over a year after I wrote it that anything happened to it, and now
have they started filming on it.
They did film it. They filmed it last year. It was only about a month. It was about a month of shooting in late November, early December, right before the holidays. And then it was in post right after the holidays. It was in post for the last several months, the beginning of 2018, and it just finished about a month ago, I think, or maybe even a little less than a month ago. I just got word that they're done in post.
Post cereals make breakfast a little bit better.
It's all edited. They had a composer come in and do the score. It's looking sharp. I haven't seen it personally, but supposedly looks great, and it was submitted to over 30 different film festivals. So I think at this point we're waiting to see which ones it gets accepted into.
Well, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
Have you seen it now that it's completed?
I have not.
Wow.
Yeah, according to the director, well, a little insider scoop, the writers in Hollywood are not exactly the most popular people.
apparently that hasn't changed since Frank Attola and I came out here.
Yeah, they don't really treat us, they don't really treat the writer too great. In fact, they wasn't even allowed on set.
I have never seen such a pathetic, vainglorious display of egotism in my life.
Had I not made a cameo in the film, then I wouldn't have been allowed on set at all.
Wow.
But I did make a cameo, so I was on set one day. I was there for my cameo.
The cameras and those wonderful people out there in the dark. All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Back in the day when Frank and Tolo and I came out here in the 70s, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were able to get a writing agent in a matter of a week, which people said was phenomenal. And then we got a gig writing for free. some theater. Frank probably remembers this. I guess probably maybe better than I do. But we wrote a script about this famous movie theater in Venice, which I think is still there. Venice, California, by the way, not Venice, Italy. And the director liked it, and I don't know what happened after that. We never made a penny on it. But why is that? Why is it that the writers are down, relegated to the basement?
You know, I don't know, and it's something that I'm only discovering now and having conversations with writer friends who are like, oh yeah, that's how it is. Like my one friend Zach, who wrote a film that came out last year called Better Watch Out. He went through the exact same thing, and him and I share stories. But I mean, you know, to a point, I understand certain parts, like, you know, they don't want you on the set because they're changing stuff around and you're going to have opinions as to what they're changing from what you wrote. Not to mention one of the things that I was bluntly told when I asked to visit the set was they don't want somebody standing around doing nothing, because that's what you'd be doing. You don't have a job. Everybody else there has a job.
Now, let me see. What is it you call your job? Oh, yes, public relations. Sounds like something pretty dirty to me.
On set, during filming, people are moving cameras around, filming, acting, directing, whatever the case may be. And then the writer is just standing in the corner being judgmental.
Well, yeah, you know, that is... I never thought of that.
You bloated idiot!
But I think that makes sense in a way, because the writer is apt to say, hey, don't change that. The character is supposed to do this, and otherwise has really nothing else to do.
Right. There.
Maybe so, that's why in the old studio days they had bungalows for writers to hang out. And if they really needed them to come and rewrite something, they'd just go get them and come on.
Which that would have been fine by me. I'll hang in a bungalow.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever the case may be, we're just not the most popular. But I was on set for one day for my cameo, and I got to see some of the scenes which was, you know, a blast to see it come to life and to see the actors performing it. And I enjoyed what I saw. I thought, you know, they didn't change too much. And some of the changes actually I felt made it better, what I saw in the one day I was on set. Yeah. Can't speak for the rest, but, you know, and I think the actors were doing a really good job with the characters, the way I envisioned them for the most part. So I enjoyed what I saw. And that's really all I saw was that one day on set, because I didn't see any footage, and I certainly didn't see the finished product yet. So we'll wait and see.
Well, that's interesting. It's really kind of a kick, I think, to see your dialogue, your writing fleshed out with actors actually doing it.
Yeah, I had only ever seen that live before, like if I wrote stage plays or sketches or things and having actors perform it. But never in this way. Well, I've done some short films, if you want to count those, and then I've seen people act out what I wrote, but never to the extent of what I saw on my one day on set of a feature film that I wrote. It was totally different.
Are there any actors or actresses in that film that is now finished that we might know?
No, actually, it's a lot of up-and-comers, a lot of newbies. It was a very independent, low-budget film from an independent studio.
Yeah.
So it didn't have a big budget behind it. I was going to call in some favors.
Someday, and that day may never come, I'll call upon you to do a service for me.
From some people that I knew, and then before I even got a chance to do that, it was cast completely. And then there's this one scene where I was almost going to make a cameo as a cop duo, me and somebody else. And I was going to get my friend Andy Dick to be the other cop, and we were going to be buddy cops. And it was literally just one quick scene towards the end of the film.
Lights, cameras, action!
And right when I got Andy to agree to it, then they went and changed the script again, did another rewrite, and cut that scene out.
Oh, wow.
So then that didn't happen. So Andy's not in it, and my cameo is in a different scene than what that was going to be. So no names. However, from what I saw, like I said, from my one day on set, I think the actors did a phenomenal job, even if they are no names. And I really liked what I saw, especially the lead actress who plays the lead character. Who the lead character's name is Bailey.
No. I'll look, Joe. Now look.
I want a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And the actress's name is Amanda Colby Stewart. And she was great. In fact, I remember talking to the director about it, and he was telling me when she came in to audition, before they even started filming, he was kind of giving me a few updates on the audition and casting process. And he said, I think we found our Bailey, because apparently in the audition, she just blew everybody away. Because it's, I can't, without going into too much detail, and I guess you'll find out when the film is finally released and you see it, the character really does have a wide range of emotion throughout the film. There's kind of a couple twists and turns, and some parts of the film is kind of like a horror thriller.
I am Dracula. I bid you welcome.
Other parts of it is like a dark comedy. So,
well,
there's definitely a lot of different. She had to pull off a lot to really nail down that character, and apparently she blew him away in the audition, and what I saw, like I said, on the one day that I was on set, I was also very impressed with her. So I think she's great. I think she's going to be great in the whole film.
Well, I'm glad you found your Bailey. I looked through the liquor cabinet for my Bailey.
I don't think that's funny.
And so I have some Jack Daniels, and this is Savino Veritas. And if you hear motorcycles, planes, and Lord knows what, remember we are not soundproof, we're not foolproof, but we are 90 proof.
So, yeah. Listen, I mean, the show is free, let me remind you. You pay nothing, okay?
Going back to the comedy thing with the Amazon Prime. Oh, by the way, Amazon Prime. You said Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Bailey's is one of my... one of the ingredients of one of my favorite shots. A blowjob.
Excuse me? the drink.
A buttery nipple. Those are very similar, those two.
A buttery nipple. I've never had
but a buttery Bailey's nipple. Is a prime ingredient of both of those. And boy, they just go down. It's like drinking a candy bar.
Yeah.
But it's alcohol.
I remember back in the day when I used to drink, which was quite often. not anymore. There's a lot of not anymore going on in my life. Not anymore. But back in those days, yes, I do remember hearing sitting at the bar, the bartender, who happened to be a woman, by the way, say,
"The ladies really dig these things, if you know what I mean, and I think you do.
You want a blowjob?" And I said, "What kind of bar am I in here? What is this bar?"
It's always a little fishy ordering one of those. "Can I have a blowjob? How much?"
How about sex on the beach? There's another drink, sex on the beach.
Yeah, so many sexual drink names. I guess the bartenders are used to it, obviously, at this point. But who knows?
Yes.
Who knows what the customer really means? They could be asking for an actual blowjob. These days, you never know.
Now, what is in a good blowjob?
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
I mean a drink.
The drink?
The drink, I mean, yeah.
I don't know. I know Bailey's, and I think it's a little bit of vodka, but I'm not sure what else. Yeah. I'm not sure what all the ingredients are. I can look it up.
Well, you could look that up while I talk about the comedy. By the way, when is the comedy thing? When can we see that on Amazon Prime?
I don't have a release date yet. Everybody keeps asking me, and it's a little nerve wracking that I don't have a release date yet.
Oh. My mistake.
I wish they would tell me. I guess they don't even know. I'm sure when they know, they'll tell me, but I don't know yet.
The girl that lives in the back house here on the lot here at Lion's Den Studios, that's where we are right now, Lion's Den Studios in Burbank, California, live, coming to you live on SRN1 at 148.ca/1. And by the way, you can hear this and all Savino Veritas episodes 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicetalk.com, where you can hear the artist D, the fabulous show, and of course, Cotolo Chronicles. Cotolo Chronicles, by the way, is on live before our show every Thursday night right here. And so the young lady who lives here in a guest house, her friend was coming over, and they were carrying a green case, a green plastic case, and it had the Amazon logo all over the case.
Huh.
And I said, "What is that?" And it turns out that this friend of the girl who lives here, he routinely orders steak.
Oh, yeah.
From Amazon.
Yeah.
I said, you got to be kidding me.
Get a lot of your groceries from Amazon these days.
Yes, he gets his groceries and steak from Amazon. I just hope that it's Amazon Prime, because you want the best cut of meat. Yeah. So,
yeah. My one friend has a joke where she says, she's a fellow comedian, and she says that if she ever had a baby, she would want it through Amazon Prime, because then it's guaranteed 2-day delivery.
Still there?
Oh, that's good. I like that. Speaking of young ladies who do comedy, while I was in the audience for the Amazon Prime comedy thing, I sat next to Jennifer.
Yes.
How's Jennifer?
Jennifer's doing well.
And how did her... I kind of wanted to see her first try at comedy, but I was
did she talk to you about that? You know, I didn't get to either, because when she finally decided to do it, I was deathly ill.
Oh, no.
I got deathly ill the moment the special was done, literally like that night or the next day, because I was so stressed for that special.
Yes.
That I think it was stress was definitely what caused the illness, but I was bottling it up for several weeks, I think, my body was like, we got to get through this special taping. And then the minute it was over, they're like, okay, now we can let all the pathogens in. And then I just got really sick for a couple of days.
Wow, that's an interesting. I kind of remember the night while I was waiting for you to come in that little waiting room that had air conditioning. It was really cool. The people working there said, stay here as long as possible because you're going to hate it. And so everyone was shut off the air conditioner. totally forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. I don't know. I remember. I think you were saying you weren't feeling it, like you had a little tickle in your throat a little.
Oh, even then I did. It was. Yeah, actually, you're right. So it was starting even before, but I managed to power through the special, and then I got really sick afterwards. So I missed Jennifer's first try at comedy myself because I was in bed dying.
Well, we are talking to Jeremy Long about comedy, about writing, about movies, about Hollywood, about girlfriends, and Bailey's and blowjobs.
Oh, yeah, Bailey's. The
drink blowjobs.
It's a blowjob is Bailey's Irish cream liquor and Amaretto liqueur.
Amaretto. That's funny you mentioned
whipped cream.
That was Frankatolo. That was one of his favorite drinks.
Oh, amaretto?
Amaretto. I still have a memory of a night, and it's that's kind of alert the media that I still have a memory of anything. But I have a memory of a night in Hollywood with Frank and a friend of ours who died very early. I think it was about 7:30 in the evening that he died. No. So he is very very sad that he died so fast. He had one of those organ cancers, the bad kind.
I'm going to have to science the shit out of this.
The kind that's sure death when you have it. I don't know. But pancreatic cancer.
Oh, pancreatic cancer.
And he died so fast. And you know. Anyway, we were at his house, I think.
Organ cancer as opposed to piano cancer.
Yes, piano cancer. But we were at his house, and talk about memories, I forgot his name, Bruce. So we're at Bruce's house, and his girlfriend was there, and my wife was there, and Frank was there. And we were drinking amaretto. I think I'll have an amaretto, Frank used to say. So a blowjob has a Bailey's, amaretto, and did you say vodka?
No, actually, I was wrong about the vodka. According to this recipe that I looked up, and that's just it's just those two topped off with whipped cream.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I get the analogies with cream and whipped cream and the blowjob. Name the blowjobs. And we are here in Lions Den Studios, and we have a weird setup, ladies and gentlemen. Not that you probably care, but whatever. I am facing the computer screen so that I can see the audio levels and so on and so forth. And behind me is Jeremy sitting in front of the microphone, which happens to be in a little soundproof booth.
Yeah,
is made to kind of keep out the motorcycles and the airplanes and so forth. Because earlier in the evening, Jeremy narrated dialogue that will be on a documentary film about Venom. Tell us a little about that.
Venom. So there's a new movie. Well, Venom's a very popular, anybody who's into comics, comic books. Yeah.
Oh, I just, before Jeremy goes on, I just wanted, because I started telling you, ladies and gentlemen, and I didn't finish. So Jeremy is behind me, but we are looking at each other face to face using my Mac's.
I wish I could live booth. In this sound booth thing.
Yeah, it'd be quiet.
My feelings exactly.
And comfortable. It's all padded.
I wish my whole house was like.
Yeah, just a big padded.
Padded. Yes, they said someday I would wind up in a padded cell. But back to the Venom.
Yeah, so Venom's a very popular comic book character from the Spider-Man comics through Marvel for ages now, probably dating back. Well, I think Spider-Man was created. Oh my gosh, I don't know. I don't want to. I don't actually want to guess because then I'll get in trouble if I'm wrong. I think it was maybe the 70s when Spider-Man first came. Anyways, shortly after Spider-Man was very popular, Venom is one of the most popular villains of the Spider-Man comics. And so they're finally making a movie about Venom, Marvel, that comes out in a month or two. And the second time it's being portrayed on screen, the only other time was it was done very poorly in the not too popular and critically unacclaimed Spider-Man 3 with Topher Grace playing Venom, who I love Topher Grace, but I'm sure it wasn't his fault either. It just wasn't done too well in that movie. But now they're doing a Venom movie all about Venom, where Tom Hardy is playing Venom.
Ah. One of my favorite actors.
Yeah, he's terrific. And it looks like it should be pretty good, hopefully, according to the trailers. And so this is something where a friend of mine who creates content by the name of Kurt Lear had brought me aboard many years ago before I lived out here in Los Angeles, because he lives in Pennsylvania, where I used to live. To do a prequel of sorts to Captain America the Winter Soldier, which is another very popular comic and film that Marvel did that came out a couple years ago over the summer. And there's a whole backstory that kind of happens before the movie of Captain America Winter Soldier that Kurt and some fellow comic fans, including myself, thought that people might want to know about going into the movie. And if they didn't have time to actually read the comic series, so we summarized it into a short, I believe, 5-minute video. And I narrated it. At that time, they actually filmed me. It wasn't just an audio narration. I was being filmed as kind of almost like a newscaster type of thing, sitting behind a desk telling this story. And the comic panels were flying over on the main screen, so you could like see the imagery of what was happening as I was narrating it. And then I was in a little box on the top right corner. And that can be found on YouTube, I believe, and other internet sites. I guess if you just search Captain America Winter Soldier, it should pop up. And so anyways, we found out, I didn't think much of it. This is like 4 or 5 years ago. And then Kurt, the director, I don't want to use the word stumbled upon it because it's on his YouTube page, but he rediscovered it after not watching it for many years and saw that it had thousands and thousands of views. And said, okay, so this is popular. Let's try it again. So he wanted to do one. He wanted to give it a try again, see if it was just as popular. So he wanted to do one for the new Venom film coming out and give a backstory about that. And since I don't live in Pennsylvania anymore, I can't be filmed. I could be filmed out here, but not by him. So instead, I just recorded the narration for it just earlier before the show here in Lion's Den Studios with Tom.
Yes. Yes. It was good. I did a few good takes there, and I hope it works out. I don't know much about comic books and comic heroes. You know, I saw the you know, saw Batman and with that great actor who died, who played the Joker.
Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, that was sad.
Yeah, he was very young.
Saw Batman, saw a couple of Spider-Men back in, Tobey Maguire.
Tobey
Maguire yeah. days.
Spider-Man certainly has changed over the years in films.
I think I saw a Keaton one too. Didn't he play Batman?
Keaton played Batman in the first two Batmans. Tim Burton did the first two Batmans, and that was Keaton. Then the third Batman, Batman Forever, was Val Kilmer.
And then the
fourth and final Batman in that kind of series, before it was redone later by Christopher Nolan with the Dark Knight trilogy. But the fourth and final Batman in that series was George Clooney. The one nobody likes.
George Clooney was Batman, huh?
In the fourth, we have Batman and Robin.
Wow. I didn't know that.
And now, of course, after the Dark Knight trilogy, which was Christian Bale, now they're doing Batman all over again in Batman versus Superman and in Justice League, and it's Ben Affleck now.
Stephen Colbert last night was mentioning, one of those late night talk people was mentioning how many superhero movies are out this summer.
Oh, a ton.
It's a ton. It really is.
Yeah, Deadpool 2, Avengers Infinity War, Ant-Man the Wasp, Venom. That's four. There's probably more. There's got to be a DC one that I'm forgetting because those are all Marvel that I just listed.
The Ant-Man... There was a comic, Ant-Man?
Yeah, Ant-Man, yeah. He's Marvel also, and he's part of the Avengers.
Wow.
So there's at least four this summer, probably one or two that I'm forgetting.
Yeah, I guess right now there's a lot of promotion for this Deadpool.
Yeah, that comes out today, actually. Technically tomorrow, but they'll have some advanced screenings tonight. Deadpool 2.
Deadpool 2. Speaking of dead. I just wanted to remind everyone, thanks to the Artist D and the website juicedtalk.com, where you can hear this show and Cthulhu Chronicles and The Fabulous Show and some other unique shows as well. You can also hear Dead Air, the 1970s revived, unearthed, remastered, digitized comedy radio show Dead Air, Frank Attolo and myself starring and writing and directing and producing Dead Air. And it's they're all on Juice Talk. And I just found, Jeremy, another like four episodes in my garage.
That aren't on Juice Talk yet.
Well, the two of them within the last few days have been posted. Okay. One was posted today. If you haven't heard Tastelessness, the Dead Air episode, you can get it now. It is now posted on Juice Talk with the other remarkable Dead Air episodes, and we have a couple more coming up, and I don't know, maybe if I keep digging around my garage, I'll find it. It's amazing, you know, I knew we had more around, and lo and behold, I checked. You know, here's the thing. I'm going to give you some advice, Jeremy, from an old age person.
Sure.
You would need three promotions to get to be an asshole.
And that is, you collect a lot of stuff.
Oh yeah, I already have a lot of stuff, and I'm only 26.
And it's like, what the hell is this? You know, like 30 years later, you run into it, and actually, this is 40 years later. If I do the math, I'm not real good at math, but 70s or what?
Do you think there will ever be a Dead Talk revival reunion?
A Dead Air revival. That would be interesting. Well, Frank?
A present episode.
Part of Dead Air was a little segment called Wasteland Playhouse.
It's Wasteland Playhouse, featuring TV favorites that will never make it on radio. Now, Rodumbo!
Featuring TV favorites that would never make it on radio. And Frank suggested we actually redo that again.
Mm-hmm.
But some trauma and tragedy happened in my family life that kept me from doing that. And then the other thing, now that the tragedy and trauma has sort of settled down, when I think about doing it, I can't think about TV shows that I would want to do it for. Because those, Jeremy, were, you know, we did parodies of Perry Mason. We did parodies of Columbo.
Sure.
But I don't know. Today, like what? You know, I mean, I guess we could do a parody of Roseanne or something like that. But,
since it's back.
But
what about really popular shows like Breaking Bad or Westworld?
I guess we could do that. Yeah. And then the other thing is the things that we did in the 70s, which, you know, everybody had access to those shows because of commercial television.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, I mean, if I don't know anybody that didn't own a television.
Mm-hmm.
And you had CBS, NBC, and ABC, and all of those shows that we did parodies of on Wasteland Playhouse were available. You know, everybody knew it. It was part of the culture. But now there's so many, you know, you talk about Amazon Prime, you talk about Netflix. Like, I don't have Netflix. Everybody in the world is telling me, get Netflix. Come on, you got to get Netflix.
Yeah.
And it's like, I already have too many things. But I don't know. What do you think about that in terms of the culture? Because, like, there's so much to choose from.
Well, yeah, very few people have cable TV or in even the most basic form of television these days, because a lot of people just have the streaming services. You know, you can get Netflix and Hulu and or Amazon Prime and or HBO or whatever your choice is. I know Netflix and Hulu are the big two, the top two, and you can get those for less than $20 a month combined and not have to have cable. Because what happens is, not only do they both have their own individual exclusive programming, stuff that's only on Hulu and stuff that's only on Netflix, which is enough of a reason for a big fan of television and movies to get those, to watch the exclusives that are only on those streaming sites. But they also have, Netflix has a lot of the past shows.
Mm-hmm.
So like shows that are on television, they'll go on to Netflix after the season's over. So you can catch up with past seasons of shows on Netflix. And then Hulu usually has the current seasons of most shows that are on television, almost all shows, at where you can catch up on the current season that's on TV now. And each new episode goes up just a couple hours after it airs on TV. So between the two, you can pretty much catch up on all the shows you would normally watch on cable television, as well as, you know, thousands of other titles and exclusives. And then anything you can't find on there, those most people just stream or illegally download anyways on the internet. So you don't need cable TV anymore or any kind of television.
Yes, that's what you youngins are keep telling me. You don't need HBO, and you don't need,
yeah, you don't. You just get the streaming services. That's what we've become, and you can just watch anything wherever and pay a monthly fee, and it's less than cable. And also now there's this new thing that I have that's pretty great. 2 is called Sling TV.
Sling TV.
Sling TV, which is also an app that you can get on. I guess you can get it on your phone too, although I don't have it on my phone, but it's for smart TVs. Or if you don't have a smart TV, you can get like a Roku or an Apple TV to plug into your TV.
Yeah.
Anything that that you can get apps on, like the Amazon Prime app or Hulu app or Netflix app. And so Sling TV is an app, and it's kind of like television a la carte, where you pick and choose what channels you want, rather than cable TV, where when you go through cable TV, they say, well, here's your package, and that's this price, which is always outrageous. Or you can get this package, which is an extra 100 channels for this price, equally outrageous price.
Yeah.
And you only watch like 50, 20, 30 of those channels, whatever. This Sling TV, you pick which channels you want, and then it calculates the price for you, and it's always cheaper than cable. And then you can watch TV that way, live TV and past TV. It kind of has like an on-demand service where you can watch past episodes too, or past stuff and rewind and pause the television. Like you can, like some people can do with, if they have like DirecTV, they can pause it or fast forward through commercials.
Yeah.
Sling TV, you can do that too. And it's just you pick which channels you want. So like, oh, I watch a lot of shows. Well, usually people would get the core channels, you know, CBS, NBC, ABC, Fox. But then any extra channels, you pick what you watch the most. Like for me, it's like Comedy Central, AMC, FX. And then, and then it's like $20 a month or something like that. Pretty cheap.
Yeah, I got to look into that. I mean, it's funny we're talking about this because I got a very strange email. I mean, unusual because I don't get emails from AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
And my TV service is from AT&T's AT&T UVerse service. And it said, thank you for your recent order or change in service. And I called in the boss, my wife. I said, What are they talking about? And she says, I don't know. I didn't change anything. And we went over what they were saying, and there was a reduction in cost. But and we still don't know why exactly. They said, we're taking $20 off here and $22 off here. But even with the reduction, it was like $251 a month.
Oh, my God. That's even more than when I first moved out here, I did get cable through Time Warner. And I got rid of it because you just don't need it anymore. But that's even more expensive than what I was paying.
Yeah. In defense, I don't think I would have ever predicted I would say these words. But in defense of AT&T, we get that includes our internet service, supposedly the highest speed, at least in America. Because in Europe, people get much faster speeds at the same price. Anyway.
They get lots of stuff in Europe that we don't get.
Yes, they do. Like, anyway, so I do get internet and I do get phone service and television. But that's kind of hefty price there.
Oh, big time, big time.
Yeah.
It's so unnecessary. Yeah, you could, quite frankly, Tom... Now, I mean, if you got rid of your cable, you'd have to still have your internet, which would maybe bring your, you know, just your internet bill down to $60 or something like that, I would guess, $60-$70. But then you can get, you know, the Sling TV I was talking about with all the channels of your choosing and Netflix and Hulu, and you could have all those for like... less than $40 a month. So you could be paying like only $100 a month if you figured, if you calculated, if you wanted to take the time to go through all that I just explained, creating a Sling account, creating a Netflix account.
Yeah. Well, we definitely have to look into that and see that everything is changing as you know, but it does, I think it affects older people like myself, this change, and it's like, what the hell's going on?
You guys are probably single-handedly keeping the cable companies alive these days, old people.
Yeah, that, and finally, a friend of ours after a long time, convinced us to get rid of our landline.
Yeah.
Which, it's expensive landlines.
Yeah, they are, which is crazy. I guess they upped the price because everybody was getting rid of them.
So we kept it a few years longer than we probably should have because a few years ago they came to change it here. They said, you're going to save a ton when we can change your landline to a digitized line.
Mm-hmm.
And you still use your same equipment, you know. And I said, oh, well, that's great. What's the down? I said, suppose the internet goes down. And they said, oh, then you have no phone service. And I said, well, wait a minute. Well, no, forget it. We want a landline in case there's an earthquake or something like that.
Sure, yeah.
Well, now we don't have a landline, so there can't be any earthquakes. I'm sorry. No earthquakes.
No earthquakes. Please put a halt to all earthquakes.
Yeah.
You know, when I had my cable, when I first moved out here, that, I of course, ended up getting rid of once I smartened up, I had the same package as you. It was cable, internet, and phone. So for a while, I had a home phone number for my apartment, but I didn't have a landline. So I was just paying for it for nothing. Because I didn't have a landline. I didn't have a home phone hooked up, but I had a number technically assigned to me by the company.
Well, and speaking of change and the internet and then social media, I guess we weren't talking about social media, but we are now. And that is, you heard about, I'm sure you have, because you're aware of what's going on in the business here in Hollywood, Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite shows was canceled.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I knew you would know about this.
What a great show. Thank God.
And within 2 hours, a storm of social media complaints. And
every Tom, Dick, and Harry, including a lot of celebrities, were tweeting out.
Reached out, and lo and behold, NBC picks it up.
Thank God.
So that's something that would never have happened back in the...
Oh, no.
You know,
no, because we didn't have social media for people to outrage. No, but the company never would have... Back in the day, the company never would have had any way of hearing the outpour of love for the show and outrage that it was canceled to be able to have another network pick it up like that. They wouldn't have even known.
Yeah. There were instances where this happened before back in the day, where some show went off one network and then went on another network. But
sure.
It usually took like at least 6 months, a year. I guess some marketing people said, you know, there are a lot of people that really like this. Let's pick it up.
Which is exactly why it's so confusing as to why Fox. It's got to be one of Fox's most popular shows. Like, what were they thinking?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
You know, just based on the outpour of people on Twitter alone, not to mention that almost everybody I talk to watches it, and it's already gone through, I think, 6 seasons so far.
They NBC just picked them up. Now, after the 2 hour cancellation, it picked them up for the 6th season.
Oh, so
they finished 5.
So they've had 5. Yeah. So it's beyond me why they canceled in the first place. Fox is notorious for doing that, by the way.
Oh yeah,
canceling very beloved shows way too early.
Why don't they cancel Fox and Friends, Hannity, and? And King Kong's daily telephone call to somebody. Anyway, I'm talking to Jeremy Long here in Lion's Den Studios in Burbank, California. We're coming to you live by way of SRN1, the 20th anniversary SRN1.
Ah.
And, well, this year anyway. I don't know what day, but it is this year. And... we are talking about all kinds of things right now, the media and how social media can quickly change things.
Yeah.
That's quite a shock. The one actor on the Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the black actor who's
Terry Crews.
Yes.
Or is it?
No, that's the one. Yeah.
Okay.
He was saying. He said, you know, he went through like it was like a roller coaster of emotions because he was like, oh my god, they canceled us. And then 2 hours later, you know, it was like, what? We're back. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I don't think I think we can safely say that it's never been that quick in the history. Because, yeah, like you said, there's other shows that have been canceled from one network and then picked up by another, Fox or Family Guy. That happened to Family Guy.
Oh, yeah, Family Guy.
It happened to The Mindy Project. That's a show that I watched. Hulu actually picked that up. It got canceled. And then Hulu picked it up and had a couple more seasons as a Hulu exclusive. And then, of course, there's shows where they're canceled for a long time. And then they're brought back by a streaming service like Arrested Development. I don't know if you ever watched Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah.
But that was on back in the early 2000s. And then just a couple of years ago, they brought it back.
And they brought it back. Yeah, that was a revival of that. Arrested Development, I think, was partly written by a college buddy of Frank and myself. Babalu Mandel.
Oh, was he involved in that?
I think he was involved in it. I think. Yeah, I think he was.
That's a great show. Season 5 is coming out on Netflix later this month. So we're not advertising for that.
No. So Netflix, Amazon Prime, Amazon Prime meat and groceries.
You know, it's not even just Amazon Prime. Ralph's started a thing where they'll deliver your groceries now. You can order your groceries online or on the Ralph's app and have it delivered to your door.
Seriously?
Through Ralph's.
Wow. I have that. Now, that I have to look into because I shop at Ralph's.
Yeah.
And I hate to go to to my Ralph's.
Yeah.
I've been to other neighborhood Ralph's and it's like fine. The vibes of the people who shop at my Ralph's and who work at my Ralph's, it's like, get me the hell out of here.
Do you hear about Trump?
Well, you know something else you can, because, so I haven't tried the delivery yet, although it'd be interesting. I may not like it, but I think I'm going to try it at least once, just to give it a try. Your first delivery is free. Then after that, there's a delivery charge. But even that, it's not that like for somebody who really hates shopping or doesn't want to leave the house, the delivery charge only like I think it's like $6 or $7 on top of whatever your bill would be. So it's really not bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then another thing they start doing though, not aside from the delivery, another option you have is to place your order ahead of time on the app or online, and then you can set a pickup window time frame. Where you just drive in, park in a certain spot in the parking lot, and they have your order all ready for you, and they just bring it out to your car, and then you drive home.
Oh, I like that.
I've done that one.
I know that CVS, the CVS in the same mall as my Ralph's, excuse me, if I could hate a store more than Ralph's, it's this CVS. I don't know these two stores. They're like in a vortex of evil or something. Mm-hmm. And the vibes of these stores. Anyway,
you should try it.
They have this thing where you, you know, if you have, if you order a prescription or something, you could park. They have a special space, and they'll come out. You text them, and they come out and give it to you. Because I hate them so much, I just use their space.
Yeah, but why not?
And they say, you know, I'm sorry.
I mean, I hate grocery shopping just as much as the next person. So if I can do it in my bed on my phone, and then a couple hours later, you just drive there, park, and they bring it out to you all bagged and ready to go. I mean, that's great. I did it once. That one, the delivery... You have one free one free time. Then if you want to keep doing it, you pay a delivery fee. The service where they pack it up for you and bring it out to your car, you have three free ones before you have to start paying for that service.
Oh, I have to look into that.
So,
oh, that's another thing. This is Savino Veritas, the fine wine of select gripes, and I've got a lot of gripes tonight.
Shop at Ralph's.
Another gripe I have about the changing culture, the social media culture, and the changing culture is the. There goes the memory again.
Hello.
We were just talking about delivery. Oh yes. Used to be, not long ago, you would call a restaurant and say, hey, I would like this delivered. And sure, now 90% of the restaurants, they don't deliver themselves. They have they outsource their delivery to, and then you have to have an app.
There's various, my biggest problem with that.
Thank you for joining Savino Veritas live every Thursday night here from Burbank, California, 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern time. I want to thank Jeremy Long for being with us, and thank you for being with us. And remember, friends, I may be joking, but I'm never kidding. Peace.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.